Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is L.A. Stu. And tonight we're going to do a... I decided I was going to read a little bit more of my book. I really enjoyed doing Emerson last week and that text. Essentially in it, Emerson. And I really kind of enjoyed doing that last week. I was on his journals. But tonight, I don't know, I've been noticing a lot of people seem to be very interested in what's going on with my book. I mean, they enjoy the audio portion of the book, so I've been getting a lot of visitors in the archives. So I'm considering doing another of them. I'd like to do the. I was thinking of doing the my I thought of doing the satire, but I thought a very important segment of this, which could be very easily overlooked, is the section that I have on the mainstream media. It's the shortest section. I only have nine. Essays, I believe nine on this one. One, two, six, seven, not 11, 11 actually. And I know this is not a spiritual segment, and I'm considering updating this right now to. To books, and it has much to do with the the big lie, you know, the great lie of the mainstream media. And I've been following this. Well, maybe I'll keep it in the spirituality because you know it's essentially the essence of the book is a spiritually. Can't say uplifting, but I can say spiritually attacking book. You know, it attacks the spirit of the essence of what we're doing. That was the premise of the book. Was my whole idea was to expose in the most articulate way that I know. How to write and this spirit. And that's why I talked about my last reading, or one of my last readings was the chapter 16, which was politics and metaphysics, and that leads into the essays and insight segment, which is all, which is you know largely political and internationally. So looking at the world of worldview. And from many, many different sources of information, and I document all those. Coming up with a broad spectrum, all right, as much as I possibly could through those years, covering on all the major events that were brought to us, brought to me from. All the mainstream media outlets, you know, ABC, CBS, CNN, and so on and so forth, but also the alternative media, which is all so many independent journalists and authors and, you know, politicians and activists all around the country who and the world, you know, who are viewing us through our media. And once we... You know, people get a false impression of Americans, especially the spiritual. And I defend liberalism in that regard. And you know, it's difficult in many ways to defend liberalism as we've been grown to know it in this country, because it's been tarnished. The word has been tarnished by the left and the right because. liberalism is a pure ideal of human equality, love for humanity, believing in the best that it can be. But what happens is it was hijacked, that philosophy was hijacked by the extreme right and the extreme left. And the extreme right was attacking all the virtues and values of liberalism, while the extreme left was negating all of them and saying, this is bullshit, of course, you know, using it. But they became immoral. They became, self-serving, and the extreme left. I believe that. I firmly believe that. And I mean, to the extent that a Democratic Party means absolutely nothing to it, you know, it's as tarnished and as beaten and broken down and whored out. It's a beat up old political whore, you know, basically. One that has decided to make a living out of, screwing everybody and, out to benefit themselves. And, that's what politics has become. And it's a job of the mainstream media. I've always felt that they're the ones with the money and the investment, and they're the ones who created a business to report and to write about and tell the truth about what they see here and create history. They're these documents of journalists are history in the making. The details and so on, and the. Extent of what we are beginning to know is only because the blogosphere is so strong. Bloggers are so powerful. Some are very, very powerful, others not so. But, there's extremes on each side. But the extremes are valuable in the sense that they alarm, they shout the alarm on both sides, and draw people back into the middle. And strongly enough, folks, it's not conservatism. It's truly liberalism, in its truest sense. I think that I believe that. I was talking to John McManus the other night. We just played the interview last night. It's in the archives. And a fascinating interview with John McManus, and he's the president of the John Birch Society, and his beliefs are very similar to my own in so many ways, but where we divide is in the social responsibilities that we have as individuals. And John is accurate, and more than accurate, and I don't deny his beliefs one minute. But the essence of liberalism, and he calls us lefties and everything, but I've called conservatives absolutely insane, so on my programs and, in my book, Naked at the Mic. But that's partly part and parcel. Much of our information, if we're what they call now low-level information, low-level news or something, an audience, a low-level news audience. In other words, people who like Fox and people who like, I think that, Chris Matthews is low-level news, man. But he's the one that coined the phrase. They get nothing from Chris Matthews other than an argument. If you're not Chris Matthews right, then you're wrong, and he humiliates you because of it. But, he's starting to become like Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly's that way on the left, on the right. You're wrong, and so on. But essentially, mainstream media has been so irresponsible in their reporting, and I quote many of these 11 articles to talk about the many different reasons why. And some are sarcastic, some are some of them are satirical, but. But primarily, this first one, this first essay in the mainstream media section Like again, I've got 12, I believe, 11 or 12 essays in there under that category. I wrote this in on Christmas Day, 2007, December 25th, 07, because that day, for some reason, I was watching, I was sent a YouTube video by someone, and I forget who it was or what it was, and I watched it, and it was called ilovemountains.org, and it was a link. And I went to that link, and I saw this remarkable organization that were trying to fight against mountaintop mining in Appalachia and West Virginia and so on, because they're blowing up the tops of mountains and polluting and destroying entire areas over this terrible environmental catastrophe allowed by the our country and the coal mining industry. I wanted to read this because this thing shakes at the core of not only the lack of coverage, and here you got to remember, I got this on Christmas Day, which, I don't know, it's kind of ironic, but the maybe it was because it was Christmas and I saw this tremendous tragedy, it struck home, and I had to sit down and I had to write this article on it and to explain what I saw and hope that it might help other people come to at least know about this very unknown catastrophe. Right? And I'm gonna start the essay. And it's not that long, but I feel it's important to read. An unreported ongoing environmental catastrophe. I've recently been made painfully aware of the very well-kept catastrophic environmental secret. I am embarrassed by my ignorance of this grave environmental issue. I have tried to rationalize my own faint awareness and inaction toward this horrendous national disaster, but I can only find fault with the companies involved and the criminally negligent and complicit mainstream media and the local, state, and federal governments for permitting this crime of widespread environmental destruction and pollution to continue uninvestigated and unreported. I urge my readers to visit ilovemountain.org. In my link section to, and you can, it's still there, you can still link at it on my website, lastoolshow.org, to view several video presentations and articles and see for yourselves what I have seen. I have not ignored environmental issues in my articles and radio programs, but I am not as deluged by environment, and I am not as deluged by environmental newsletters or updates as I am with other current events. So many environmental organizations are underfunded or understaffed for the numerous issues and concerns they are forced to publicize. I cannot stress more earnestly the need for attention that must be given to these organizations. I applaud all who are involved and ask that they feel free to involve me and my media outlets to help them. ilovemountains.org is a worthy cause that I wish to help. The states of West Virginia and Kentucky and several other states excuse me, are being destroyed by mountaintop mining. The richest forest land in the United States is being systematically destroyed by coal company greed. They are devastating the environment to avoid using and paying miners in their mining operations in the poorest regions of the United States. To do away with coal mining jobs in these areas, coal companies are now blowing up mountaintops to access the coal, causing incalculable environmental destruction as well as destroying the lives and livelihoods of all who live in these areas. According to ilovemountains.org, 450 mountaintops in West Virginia and Kentucky have been destroyed. According to surrounding watershed areas, rivers, streams have been polluted, destroyed, or diverted, which has caused immense suffering to thousands of animal species and hundreds of thousands of people. People who have lived for generations in these areas are seeing their lands flooded and polluted, rendering once fertile land unusable for animal or human habitation. The clean groundwater and streams are made unusable for human or animal consumption. Under the Bush administration, environmental issues have become a joke. Now, remember, I wrote this in 2007. But under the Bush administration, environmental issues have become a joke. The Bush EPA and Department of Interior are selling our national treasures to the lowest bidders with the highest campaign contributions. Congress is just as complicit in these acts of treason and corruption. The areas being environmentally devastated have sparsely populated and poor. Appalachian Mountain regions are the local are the poorest regions in the country. Its people are the most poorly represented in our state, federal, and local governments. Why have we heard no complaint or protest from the many world-famous bluegrass and country western musicians who hail this region of the U.S. as their home and an origin of their success and inspiration? Why are these state politicians doing nothing to prevent this environmental disaster within their own states? Why has the national media completely ignored this issue? Why is the region of the U.S. only focused upon by the national media when there is some major mining accident? Why is it that the days and weeks after these accidents occur, nothing more is heard or reported by the media about the miners or about the far greater disasters facing the people from these regions of the country? Could it be that coal and energy companies have total control of the local and national media? Could it be that the coal and energy companies have paid off all government officials to keep silent? Simply look at the impoverished history of this region and the horrendous treatment of coal miners for the last 100 years, and the answers to these questions become obvious. I am embarrassed as a concerned citizen that I knew so little about mountaintop mining or the suffering it has caused so many. I will try to continue to keep my urgent environmental issue and others in my articles and radio programs to help these people and organizations as much as often as I can. I hope my readers and listeners will consider helping these people as well. Please go to ilovemountains.org and send your support and get involved with saving our environment from this ongoing devastation. Not as a mountaintop mining. Anyway, that was something that, and there was other international issues that I wish to bring up as well, environmental issues that are far, far more devastating than this global warming and the man-made madness that's really contributing to global warming, which is, you know, the use of uranium in radiation in Iraq and in the desert regions, and those carrying over, and all this stuff in the air, and all this poisons, plus the chemtrailing issues, devastating, absolutely devastating this country. So, I wrote many of them. I mean, I have a lot of these on my website as well. They're all from my website. But I have more. But there was just so many that I could put in this book to keep it within an affordable range. And that's still a little high. Expensive for many people, and I'm aware. But you can also get this book now on iUniverse.com as a download. You know, you can get it on Kindle, or you can, you know, download it. And it's only $9.99, so you can get it there. That's on iUniverse.com. Back in August 5th of 2007, for those of you who might remember, the bridge collapsed that destroyed American television news. The bridge in Minnesota that collapsed, it was a devastating thing. But what happened was is that for almost an entire week, right, of that collapse, there was coverage on it every single day, 24/7, you know, for that entire week, all right, absolutely absurd, okay, coverage from every angle, every station, everybody. It's almost as though no news occurred, no news was happening, you know. were going through the middle of a financial meltdown. We were, we were in two wars. Everything was going on. But oh no, this one bridge collapse took over the news for an entire week. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But this is the way that the mainstream media operates. You know, and if they can devote all their resources to doing one justify one thing, you know, it saves them a lot of money for getting reports from all around the world for that week. You know, so it's and it may divert your attention from a more important issue that's being discussed, like healthcare or the wars or China. At that time, China imports were killing everybody. I wrote this essay, and it's in my book, Naked at the Mic, and it's called "The Bridge Collapse That Destroyed American Television News." I feel as sorry as the next guy for what happened to the people of Minnesota and the bridge collapse. They have 24/7 coverage of it on every television news outlet in America, and the BBC for 4 solid days is a travesty and complete collapse of responsible television news coverage. It is contemptible to me that so little attention was given to the Congress passing the wiretap bill, and 10 million people of India had been rendered homeless because of monsoon flooding, or that a massive flooding in England are receiving such little news coverage. Also, does anyone in the mainstream news media, especially the television networks, remember that the U.S. is still in a war with Iraq and Afghanistan? Does anyone care, except Al Jazeera and the civilizations of the Middle East, that 50% of Iraqis are currently living in abject poverty in Baghdad, as of last week, is completely without water? Does anyone in the U.S. media care that 1 million Iraqis have been killed since 2003, or that it is recently announced by the GAO that the war in Iran and Afghanistan have cost over $1 trillion by next year? Now, remember, I wrote this in August of 2007. At the current rate of spending, does anyone in the network news media care that the Iraqi parliament has taken a 6-week vacation after accomplishing nothing for over 3 years to establish a stable government in Iraq? Does anyone in the media care that 75 to 150 American soldiers are being killed each month in Iraq? Now, this was in August 2007. Does anyone give a damn that the Minnesota tragedy and Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Nicole Richie, and Harry Potter have dominated nearly 90% of the New York news programs, the network news programs, in the last 3 months? I want to repeat that because it'll jar your memory. This was written on August 5th, 2007. It says, does anyone give a damn that the Minnesota tragedy and Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Nicole Richie, and Harry Potter have dominated nearly 90% of the network news in the last 3 months? I believe the network news is a complete and absolute farce. Let's watch Katie Couric cross her legs and flirt at the camera, while all the other networks find cuter, younger, more fluffy-headed, mascara reporters that bring the network news to even greater levels of complete worthlessness. If all they are trying to accomplish is getting higher ratings, then they should just do more entertainment news with bikini-clad newsreaders made up like porno queens and forget the pretense of being real news programs. Does anyone in the U.S. media give a damn that Rupert Murdoch has just been approved to own the Wall Street Journal? Does anyone care that the Wall Street Journal will soon look like and read like the New York Daily News or the New York Post? Maybe everyone thinks it's a good thing. Maybe it will be an improvement. Now the journal report is on Fox News. Maybe that is where it always belonged. The handwriting is on the wall, scrawled in the multicolored spray paint. Network television news in America has become nothing more and obscene graffiti spray painted on our television screens. The newspaper media, under the ownership of Murdoch and other like-minded moguls, have reduced American journalism to sensational tabloid news framed and advertising copy, splattered on billboards and banners, pasted to the sides of buses and high-rise buildings throughout every town and city in the United States. Let's all dance with the stars and sing with the newest American Idol. Let's get down with Homer Simpson and the Family Guy and elect our next president by Nielsen ratings instead of going to the polls to vote. Voter fraud on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars is a far greater crime, according to the American media, than Republicans or Democratic voter fraud in the national elections. Serial killers and child molesters receive far more media blame and attention and public condemnation than the monstrously corrupt, mass-murdering sponsors of genocide George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and all other ongoing brutal dictators around the world sponsoring genocide. As the networks gear up for another month of Minnesota bridge construction meetings and interviews with retired bridge engineers and the survivors of the bridge collapse and their families, the Bush administration will be conspiring to set off another pseudo-terrorist attack and veto important legislation and claim executive privilege to protect his corrupt and lying attorney general and close advisors so they can continue to steal more American treasure and freedoms. Bush and Cheney cronies and Halliburton and Bechtel and all other Bush embraced defense contractors are greedily eyeing the latest congressional approved defense budget of $480 billion. Now, remember again, I wrote this on August 5th, 2007. I mean, it's so much worse, and we've continued on and on and on, but here's more. Where is the reporting? Where are the investigations of war profiteers? Where are the investigations and impeachment proceedings for G.W. Bush and Dick Cheney? Where the hell are the real reporters, real journalists, real men and women of professional integrity and commitment to honest, accurate, and courageous reporting and network news? Network journalism is a hustler's game. Hustlers and hucksters, all pushing for the same 1 minute of fame and prime time to advance their careers and ratings into multi-million dollar salaries and corporate earnings. Real journalists have never been in the mainstream media. Real journalists are now writing and broadcasting in small newspapers, independently produced documentaries and websites. They are reporting their investigations and are berated, criticized, and ignored by the mainstream media as liars or as bloggers of questionable credentials. At the same time, mainstream media reporters are stealing the credit and plagiarizing stories from these same journalists they discredit. And nationally, syndicated columnists also steal from their small sites and bloggers to meet their own syndicated column deadlines. The American mainstream media is dead. It was not murdered, nor did it die from natural causes. It committed suicide. All the remains of whatever it was is a skeleton with an aged and sagging body and cratered faces. face. Masked for television cameras by Botox, cosmetic surgery, and $1,500 a day makeup artists. And I still believe that today. I wrote back in, we forget how long it's been now, but it was back in September. 2006, when Katie Couric began her career on radio on CBS, anchoring the CBS Evening News. Like many other Americans, people. We tuned in to watch her first broadcast out of curiosity. And right on. It took me a couple of days to write this article after I saw the broadcast. But I wrote it on September 8th, 2006. But there was so much hype about Katie Couric being on CBS News and taking over from Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and Bob, I think it was Bob Schaefer or something. It was a year of transitions in the media. And now, you know, you have, what's her name? I forget her name. But she's on ABC. She's taken over ABC's 6:30 news. So now you have two women, and Brian Williams is the only one on NBC. But this was from that about Katie's debut. Katie Couric and the Death of CBS News. That was written on September 8th, 2006. I, like 17 million other curious television network news watchers, had to tune in to the former CBS Evening News on September 5th, 2006. I was sorely disappointed. It should have been honestly promoted as the CBS Women's Magazine for the Menopausal. After 5 minutes of Katie's cuteness and 5 minutes of ceaseless commercials, I felt that if my television had turned into Katie, was tuned into Katie for one more minute, I'd be compelled to put a lace curtain over the set, tied on each side with a Martha Stewart bow. Mary Hart, for those who don't know her as the Entertainment Tonight host, whose claim to fame was her perky smile and great legs. The only difference between her and Katie Couric is that she never pretended to be a news reporter. Mary seems quite content being Mary the Ghost of E.T. I always admired her for that. She's gotten a little older over the years, as has everyone, but I think she is far more honest with herself and the public than Katie is. The problem with Katie is that no one really cares what she's saying. They only care how she looks, if she's smiling or frowning, or what she's wearing. Her interview style must be greatly appreciated by all hearing impaired, even without closed captioning. I've never seen her interview anyone without her being cross-legged with an above-the-knee tight skirt and high heels. Someone was so enamored of Katie's legs that he created a popular website called katiecouricslegs.com. I read that Katie's viewership dropped by 3 million on the second night of Katie's show. I was one of those 3 million who wouldn't put myself through the suffering again, especially to watch her fluffing EW. The only way I could watch the Katie show again is if I heard that Al Roper signed with CBS to be his co-anchor. CBS would be wise to exploit close-ups of their newly purchased $100 million Barbie doll. With occasional extreme makeovers, many more leg shots of perky former brunette turning blonde and blonder, and by the end of her contract, she would be platinum. If CBS really wanted to change the face of network news, they are not doing a great job at it they must continually change Katie's look if they want to keep the ratings. Dress her up, get some famous designers to contribute clothing to the show for a plug in the credits. Instead of the total copyright and trademark infringement of Free Speech TV, Katie's free speech segment on the show should be the Dress Katie segment, where viewers could email their dress up to ideas to her and have her read them on the air. Then she could wear the suggested clothing on the next night's show. She could feature Condi Rice once a week with Katie interviewing her about her love and devotion to George W. Bush and the latest seasonal fashions, while both model international designers clothing and high heel boots and shoe collections. Ah, yes, the end of the world of male-dominated network news has arrived. Venus rules the visual airwaves, and all men must submit to be neutered. The only remaining refuge for real news, free of mascara, plastic surgery, Barbie doll fixations, or sultry, shrill, angry, or completely annoying and unlistenable female voices, are the soon-to-be-extinct male-hosted radio news and talk shows. Yeah. So, those, that pretty much, my opinion hasn't changed, you know, on that. I love Katie Couric. Smart, pretty woman. Great legs. But I can't stand watching her as deliver the news. I don't know why. Just, you know, too cute, I guess, or something. I feel like I'm just being, whenever I watch Katie, I feel like I'm being massaged, you know. And I don't want to be massaged by a news person. So let me go on. The mainstream media has frustrated me for so many years, all my life. I've wondered, and read stories, and I contradict everything that they talk about. And I guess I stopped becoming, listening to anything from the mainstream media or taking it seriously. I'll watch it to debate it, basically. I won't watch it for the information. I'll watch it because I question everything they're saying. And that's important when you do what I do, since, you know, I talk about this, criticize it, but also do my own news program, and with as much skepticism as others. But anyway, this tonight's show is basically opinion, but this is based on fact. It was in September 11th, 2006. For some reason, the mainstream media just dripped of the 911 thing. You know, they. It is unbelievable. And, let me explain. And then, I'll read this and you can see how you feel about it. The American media is hopeless. Every television station and newspaper had the same story C-SPAN had on the 9/11 commissioners to express their apologies for their gross incompetence. Now, this was written on, I wrote this the day after 9/11, it was 9/12/06. If anyone who watched it, every television station and newspaper had the same story. C-SPAN had on the 9/11 commissioners to express their apologies for their gross incompetence, and GW had a putrid primetime political speech, and ABC had a farce fiction docudrama. If anyone watched it, they must have been captivated by the close-up shots of all the conspirators in the cabinet. I was hysterical watching the passion of Dick Cheney's character and his sudden malevolent wince as we asked the panicked cabinet, as he asked the panicked cabinet and advisors if they wanted him to take supreme authority in the crisis. Well, GW was still reading My Pet Goat. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I'm aside here. There was a documentary that was done right at that year and aired on 9/11 and, you know, ABC, and it was absolutely a sick show. But, this is how the networks went way over the top on this. We can't bother the president. You know, this was a quote from Cheney. We can't bother the president until we have verifiable verification. Verification of what? Two planes had already been hit the World Trade Center. The hapless look on the face of the actress who portrayed Condi Rice was priceless. She should get an Emmy for her performance. Condi Rice should have received the Medal of Freedom that Bush handed out to Tenet and Bremer for their total incompetence. I was very pleased to hear that the Green Party issued a statement yesterday stating that they want another official investigation into the many unanswered questions of 9/11. That's great, and about time, only 5 years late. I noticed that Subway Sandwich has a new ad that ran 4,000 times featuring a conspiracy theorist walking into a Subway Sandwich shop with a video camera. He entered the shop because he suspected Subway of conspiring and concealing something about their sandwiches. He was probably right. Genetically modified bread, cancer-causing food coloring, nitrates in their meat, salmonella on their counters, and employees who don't wash their hands. All the network news programs have done investigations on health risks of fast food restaurants. Once again, art mirrors life, and the 9/11 conspiracy is real. There were two great tragedies on 9/11, the murder of 3,000 innocent victims and the murder of the truth. Americans have been under siege by its own government since 9/11/01. And 9/11 conspiracy researchers have uncovered a vast wealth of critical information and empirical evidence that the World Trade Center and Pentagon strikes on 9/11 were not done by 19 hijackers and Osama bin Laden was not responsible for the attacks. Hundreds of former FBI and CIA employees have stated their knowledge of a cover-up by their agencies. The courage of these Americans is shunned and ridiculed by the tyrannical censored American media and accepted by their brainwashed readers, viewers, and listeners. To this day, the FBI wanted poster for Osama bin Laden has no mention of his involvement in the 9/11 attacks. Recent polls conducted by independent polling firms state that over 50% of Americans believe Saddam Hussein was involved in 9/11, and over 90% of our military stationed in Iraq believe that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11. There is no evidence anywhere to prove Iraq's involvement, and this has been stated by G.W. Bush himself. The official 9/11 defense is a tired story, revised and revised, cleansed and disinfected by the mainstream media and believed by the misguided and patriotically blinded public. These victims of self-induced hysterical blindness still refuse to see all the blatant lies told to them by this current administration. They believe that their president is a holy man and their government would never lie to them, and just as their priests molest their children, and yet they also are considered holy men. 9/11 was not a wake-up call for Americans. Instead, it was a curfew call to those to close our eyes and lock our doors and let Bush and his thugs go unchallenged and unquestioned. 9/11 was the greatest act of treachery and treason ever conceived and carried out by a democratic government against its own people. I wrote that on September 12, 2006, after witnessing the insanity that I saw the day before on television in all the media, mainstream media. I got time for this one and possibly one more. Okay. I wrote this on January 22nd, 2007. These dates are dated in the book, by the way. They're right next to the title. And this was written on, these are all published on those dates on my website, lastoolshow.org. Which is linked right to this site, actually. Has anyone noticed the network news? January 22nd, 2007. I often browse the networks for some relevant news, and far too often I am disappointed. I have noticed, however, that the national network news programs have copied each other. Except for the anchor person, the news is identical. And even commercials are identical and played at the exact same times. If you change the station to another news broadcast, advertisers have ensured themselves that you are going to see the same ad you were trying to escape from by changing the channel. I consider it frightening that billions of dollars are spent by these news networks every year to create some semblance of real news reporting. For the last several years, I have seen nothing on network news that was news. Since Katie's arrival on CBS, I have totally ignored that station. And then as even its regular programming is insulting to anyone's intelligence. As I read, watch, and listen to numerous news sources to find a few unique stories for my radio programs, I have discovered that news network news has become completely irrelevant. All the network news programs have become carbon copies of each other with different letterhead. The same lead stories someone reports from the front of the White House or Capitol with the exact same news leaked to them from an anonymous White House, congressional, or Pentagon source. Someone reports from war-torn Iraq with the exact same embedded and authorized news. There is nothing worth listening to. Everything is twisted into absolute pablum, and all the programs end with the same human interest story about a paraplegic hero not denouncing Bush or the war and happy he could give up his limbs for his country. Or else there is featured another happy monkey or affectionate carnivore du jour. The cable news programs are even less believable. CNN has the same news and ads as all the other networks, except they keep playing the same thing over and over again for 24 hours. Ads on Viagra, Cialis, Lipitor, and men's prostate problems take up half of the program time. The drug companies must own the networks. MSNBC is NBC. Just a different anchor, but the same reports. Every pundit on every station is an obnoxious buffoon. The more obnoxious they are, the better their ratings are. As soon as a tornado or hurricane occurs in the U.S., all we get for news is 24 hours of the same pictures of destroyed houses and buildings. Pictures released from the Associated Press and a few interviews with poor, toothless people. This is the total extent of American news coverage. Network news coverage. Has anyone heard about the 100,000 deaths in Indonesia due to a recent flood? I had to read about it on the internet. No mention on national network news. I'm about to give up my cable subscription. I have come to the realization that anything worth listening to or watching is on the internet and some radio programs. Print media is worthless as well. If the major papers and magazines are owned by Rupert Murdoch or affiliated with the major networks, all publishing houses and movie studios are owned by the networks as well. The only free source of information comes directly from the internet, and even the internet is slowly being censored. The new world order is becoming obvious. Censorship and fabrication of facts is news reporting is the most powerful weapon used by dictators. How long will it be before people like me are silenced and censored? How much longer will free speech be allowed in the U.S.? How much more nonsense will the American people accept from the television networks in place of real reporting of national and international news? Network news is the most unreported crime in the nation. Special reports are nothing more than distractions between countless commercials. Network news promotes government propaganda, fear, sex, pedophilia, sadism, masochism, dieting, sickness, death, and addictions to lure all of the medically and mentally impaired people who honestly believe that network news programs are telling the truth. Now, I wrote again on January 22nd, 2007. Man, was I on. I was right on. I had about 10 minutes left to go. And I'm going to be able to read the last one or two here. There was a lot of talk back in 2008 before the elections about the Obama media. How all the left-wing media outlets were voting for Obama and pushing Obama, 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 you know. And I wrote this article, it was not too long. But I finally got the man on July 22nd, 2008, I wrote this. I can't recall ever seeing a presidential candidate receiving so much favorable media coverage. It is almost hilarious how our illustrious news network news and certain major newspapers are so enthralled with Barack Obama. It is actually a media love fest. McCain doesn't stand a chance in hell of getting fair coverage, and neither did Hillary. As I surfed the channel, as I surfed the television channels last night, I was hoping to find something objective regarding Obama's grand foreign tour. But all I saw was a few photos of the Obama smile, the video segments of Obama making a jump shot in front of the troops in Iraq, and another short video clip of him walking closely, smiling and shaking hands with Iraq's president. These clips were presented on the Keith Olbermann show. It's a confounding experience to watch the liberal news media finally show itself for what it is. In one way, I'm happy to see such liberal exuberance and conservative pundit bashing, but I kind of miss hearing some of the hilarious insults that were hurled against liberals from the conservative media. As a liberal-leaning, politically independent radio talk show host, I find the entire shift in attitude refreshing. The once few frightening and silly-looking liberal network news pundits are now bold and brash and with extreme makeovers. As they grin with whitened teeth and Botox smiles and sit straight in their seats while wearing starched shirts and ties and stare directly into the camera, it seems almost like they are completely morphed into the old liberal newsmen and women like Tom Brokaw, Barbara Walters, and Walter Cronkite. Maybe the American people are more tolerant to truth and compassion and to people who are suffering in our society. Maybe a few network news executives have noticed the cultural trend shifting and ratings dropping away from the conservative pundit programming. I've even noticed a slight resignation of my own conservative listeners who once couldn't wait to attack me for my radical views against the war, Bush and Republicans. Since I've been proved right on all issues and criticisms for the last 6 years, and I have attacked Democrats as hard as I've attacked Republicans, I'm thinking that the scale of public judgment might have balanced. I just hope the silly network anchors and overconfident liberal pundits don't spoil it for those who have been doing the real muscle work in the front lines of liberal radio and television for the last 10 years. And have taken serious heat for expressing their views. $1 million salaried sycophant, Obama-loving, Democratic mouthpiece, television network anchors, and nationally syndicated talk radio show hosts are doing far more harm to the true ideals of liberalism than 100 Rush Limbaughs, Sean Hannitys, or Bill O'Reillys could ever do. If the mainstream media's love affair with Obama isn't suspended soon, the fair and balanced motto of Fox News may begin to be taken seriously by the American people. I personally cannot stand John McCain, but as a presidential candidate, he deserves the media's attention and must be allowed to air his opinions as an alternative to Obama. If Obama can offer the American people true hope and real results to get us out of the great mess of G.W. Bush and the Republicans and Democrats have put us in, then the American people will enthusiastically shout his name, Obama, as Obama the Great, the entire world, and overwhelming support himself in November, without any further help from the Obama-loving liberal media. And I got about 5 minutes left, and so I'm going to I'm going to read a short one here. Big hat, no cattle. I wrote this on March 18th, 2005, after watching a same news report. I've known too many SOBs in my life, so I feel qualified to describe the one trait that makes a person worth knowing. Integrity is the only characteristic worth mentioning. If a man or woman doesn't have integrity, I don't want to know them. Or I'm ashamed, I'm damn sorry that I ever met them. I've had bastards look at me in the eye and lie to me to get my vote, sell me a car, or a house, or an insurance policy, or investment, but the biggest lying SOBs next to George W. Bush have got to be news anchormen and women. These actor-slash-liars are the human curse of Western society, and more than likely all civilized societies with televised news coverage. The morning, afternoon, evening news, and late news are all lies, hype, and hypocrisy. Recent polls prove that 50% of the American public is totally uninformed or ill-informed of the most important issues facing America today. 51% of Americans believe that Saddam Hussein caused 9/11. This is outrageous. This is the same number that supposedly voted Bush into office the first and second time. So hail the idiot American and the lying media walking together hand in hand in love. The more grease the Americans ingest in their news and food, the happier they are. And I think I'll leave you with that tonight. That's kind of that's the way I believe. It's the way I still believe. And man, I just can't tell you anymore. But those essays and more are in the are in my book, Naked at the Mic. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can see a preview there. Scroll down through my show page, and you'll be able to see. You'll be able to see part of my book, a number of the chapters and essays that I've read over the last year or 6 months or so since the book came out. So I hope you enjoy. And I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Join me again tomorrow night when we have George Dixon joining us, and we'll be talking, I believe we'll be continuing our discussion on giants and archaeology. Archaeological finds, and we're going to possibly expand from there. So hope you enjoyed the show tonight, and hope you will join us tomorrow night right here, Lila and George Dixon and myself, tomorrow at 8. Good night, and thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.